So good to see you all. Let's come and worship God. We start with words based on Psalm 8. If you could say the words in bold, please. O God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heart of creation throbs with your glory. Glory revealed in the vast reaches of the universe, in the twinkling stars reflected in the wondering eyes, and simple songs of little children. Compared with your awesome power, O God, our lives would seem insignificant. We did not know, care for us and for all creation. You chose to honour humanity by giving us the responsibility of caring for all your wonderful creation. O God, how majestic is your name in all. And let's pray. Awesome and majestic God, your creative power, your glory and holiness are beyond our imagining. Yet you chose to pour your love into human hearts in a most personal way by sharing our humanity in Jesus Christ. Christ revealed the human face of your love and through his sacrificial love demonstrated the depth of divine love for us all. Trinity, you equip us for our journey through life and beyond by breathing new and everlasting life into our very being through the gift of the Holy Spirit. This morning we come, God Creator, God Redeemer, and God the renewing power of our lives. We worship and adore you, God in Trinity. Amen. And God, creator of all the wonders which make up this world, when we treat our part of the world as a commodity to be used rather than as a gift to be cherished, forgive us. God, bearer of our humanity in Jesus Christ, when we fail to live out the commandment to love one another as Jesus loves us, when we judge a person by the colour of their skin, by their possessions or their achievements, by their nationality or their language, rather than accepting them as a person loved and accepted by you, forgive us. God, giver of the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us into all truth. When we fear the changes we may have to make if we allow your power to flow into the places of our weakness, forgive us. God, creator, redeemer, life-giving spirit, fill us anew with your creative power that we may be reborn in your image, glorifying you in and through who we are and what we say and do and pray in Jesus' name. In Romans 5 it says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And God's love for us is demonstrated in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Sisters and brothers, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And let's respond as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we come here to glorify God's name in our praise and worship today. Trinity Sunday can feel a little intimidating for both the pew sitter, or the chair sitter in our case, and the preacher alike. Christmas is easier. There's a baby in a manger. Easter gives us an empty tomb. Pentecost, last week, has wind and fire and excitement. But Trinity Sunday gives us theology. Yay. And not just theology, but one of the great mysteries of the Christian faith. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in and yet one. Over the centuries, people have tried all sorts of ways to explain the Trinity. Some have used shamrocks, you see that there. Some have used candles or flowing water changing into steam and ice, or three-legged stools. And usually such explanations have become more confusing rather than less. And often, if you really dig down, they have as much heresy in them as not saying it at all. But perhaps the Trinity is not really meant to be solved like a jigsaw puzzle. Perhaps it is meant to remind us that God is always greater than our words and definitions, a God who we can glorify through all the world. At the heart of the Trinity, it's not mathematics, it's relationship. There's an old story about St. Augustine walking by the sea while trying to understand the Trinity. He noticed a small child scooping seawater into a tiny hole in the sand. We've all seen that and probably did it as well many years ago. Augustine smiled, perhaps somewhat indulgently, and said, "You'll never fit the whole ocean into that little hole." The child replied, "And neither will you fit the mystery of God into your mind." The story may or may not be true, we don't really know. Yet Christians still dare to say something important about God on a day like today. That God is not distant or cold or solitary. God is love shared and given. God comes to us in creation, in Christ, and through the Spirit still moving among us. And because God is relationship, faith is never just about me and God. We need one another. We need community, forgiveness, encouragement, honesty, and grace. So today, as we are worshiping together, perhaps we do not need to understand everything perfectly. Thank goodness for that. Perhaps it's simply enough to open ourselves again to the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That love still holds us together. We have two rather short Bible readings today. One is where we get what we say together, we say the grace. Though today when we say it, we'll say it the way the Bible says it rather than we would say it, if you're with me. We'll be saying it again in a few minutes' time. And the sermon will be based on that 2 Corinthians reading. So let's hear our Bible readings, firstly from 2 Corinthians 13 and then from Matthew chapter 28.
Our first reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the gospel reading comes from Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, let's pray together. Lord, on this Trinity Sunday, we pray that you'd be with us. Help us to learn something. Help us to discover something. Help us to be inspired, comforted, or challenged. Move among us, O Holy Spirit. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, churches do not survive because the roof is sound, the accounts are balanced, or the traditions are carefully preserved, though all those things are helpful and right. Churches live because people care deeply enough about one another to keep showing up. On Sundays, yes, but at other times as well. And when they show up, they do so to keep forgiving, to keep hoping, to keep believing that somehow, even with all our weaknesses and failures, God is not finished with us yet. That was true for the church in Corinth, and it is true for us here today. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he was not writing to a perfect congregation. Far from it. They argued. They competed. They wounded one another. Some thought they were spiritually superior. Some carried bitterness. Some had almost forgotten what Christian community was meant to look like. And yet, Paul does not give up on them. Right at the end of his second letter to the Corinthians, after all the corrections and frustrations and appeals, he leaves them with a blessing rather than with condemnation. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all," we just read, and he wrote. We say it all the time. A direct quote from 2 Corinthians 13, though we do add an evermore and an amen onto it just for good measure. It is fitting that the church hears these words on this Trinity Sunday, the day when Christians speak of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, if we are honest, Trinity Sunday can feel a bit intimidating. Most people, most of you, all of you, do not wake up on this Sunday hoping to have a detailed explanation of the Trinity. The word itself sounds abstract and distant. The Trinity is not meant to confuse us. At heart, it says something wonderfully simple. God is relationship. God is relationship, and from the very beginning, that is important. And more importantly, or just as importantly, God seeks relationship with us, with you and with me. Many in our society still believe in God, but often people imagine God as distant, a force somewhere beyond the world. But the Christian story, our Christian story, insists that God comes towards us, and nowhere is that clearer than in Jesus. Paul speaks in our reading of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace means that God moves first. Before we deserve it, before we have everything sorted out, God comes not to the powerful and the secure, but to the vulnerable places of the earth. He comes before we deserved it. He comes now. He comes not to Caesar's palace, but to Bethlehem. Not to the centre of power, but to ordinary people living uncertain lives like you and I. And Jesus spends his life among those others overlook, the sick, the poor, the ashamed, the forgotten. That is what God is like, not distant, but suffering, and present within all of life. I once heard about a church that ran a simple breakfast for struggling neighbours in a downtrodden area. Tea, instant coffee, toast with jam, peanut butter or Marmite, that was the total choice. One volunteer said, "People come for food, but mostly they come because someone remembers their name." That stayed with me, perhaps because I'm not good at remembering people's names, but more so, perhaps that is also what Jesus did constantly, reminding people they had not been forgotten by God and were known by God. The Trinity is often presented as a doctrine. But before it became doctrine, it was experience. The early Christians experienced God as creator beyond them, Christ beside them, and the Spirit within them. And gradually, over centuries, they realized something profound. Relationship belongs to the very being of God. At the heart of reality, there is love shared, love given, love received. And that matters in a world where loneliness runs deep. People can be surrounded by others and still feel isolated. Communities fragment. Churches sometimes become collections of individuals rather than genuine fellowship. Paul knew that danger in Corinth. That is why he insists that faith is never merely private. Christianity is not a solo project where we swipe left or right depending on what appeals to us. It's often been said that no one can be a Christian alone. Faith takes shape in community, in perfect, frustrating, and beautiful community. And that is why Paul speaks about reconciliation so strongly in all of both 1 and 2 Corinthians. You cannot speak of communion while refusing one another. You cannot proclaim peace while nurturing resentment, he says. And yes, reconciliation is difficult. Wounds can run deep. But Paul still believes that grace can make new beginnings possible. I once heard of two elderly members of a congregation who had barely spoken for years after an argument long forgotten by everyone else. Then one Sunday during communion, one quietly extended a trembling hand towards the other. After a pause, where breath paused and years of resentment hung in the balance, the other slowly took it. No speeches, no drama. Just a hand extended in peace. Sometimes that's exactly what the gospel looks like. Paul's blessing also speaks of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is not escape from life, but strength within life. The Spirit gives courage, perseverance, and resilience. That matters because many people today are simply tired. Congregations carry anxieties about the future. People wonder whether they still have enough energy to continue. Yet the Spirit meets people precisely in our issues, precisely there. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote that God does not give us strength in advance for every possible future. Instead, we receive what we need for the moment we are in. Not always enough for next year, next month, or even tomorrow, but enough for today. Many of us know that truth personally. There are moments when we think, I cannot carry this, yet somehow we do. We've done that throughout life, often because strength arrives through others, a conversation, a kindness, a prayer, someone sitting quietly beside us in grief, or that quiet understanding that God remains with us. For that too is the Spirit. And the Spirit always pushes us towards community, towards honesty, towards shared burden, towards mutual care. Paul even tells the Corinthians to greet one another with a holy kiss. His point is not forced affection, but genuine closeness. Friends, we don't all have to become French, kissing one another on first one cheek, then the other. It's not a polite performance while our hearts remain distant. Because churches can become very skilled at pretending. We say, I'm fine, even when we are struggling deeply. Paul says, dare to face one another truthfully. One of the most radical themes in the gospel is that God's power appears in weakness. The world admires success and strength, but the Christian story turns repeatedly towards the overlooked. A child in a manger, a teacher from Nazareth, a cross instead of a throne. That means God is not ashamed of human vulnerability. And perhaps churches need to hear that too, especially congregations feeling fragile or uncertain about the future. The value of a church is not measured simply by numbers, budgets, or buildings. Paul might say to us, the roof may be damaged, but rejoice in the foundation. The foundation being Christ himself, the one who continues to come towards flawed and fearful people with grace, with abundant grace. You are not finished, says the gospel. You are beginners. Even older congregations still have gifts to offer: wisdom, compassion, patience, faithfulness formed over decades. The world longs for communities where grace is tangible. And the witness matters enormously in our society. So Paul ends with the blessing, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. A Trinitarian blessing. But you notice those final words, with you all. Not just the confident, not just the successful, not just the people who always get things right. With you all. That is gospel. The grace of Christ still meets us. The love of God still surrounds us. The fellowship of the Spirit still binds us together. Trinity Sunday is, is not about solving all theological puzzles. It's about recognizing the deepest reality of the universe is not fear or isolation, but relationship. God creates relationship. God restores creation, relationship. God sustains relationship. And so Christian faith can never merely be individuals. Friends, we need one another. We need each other. We need people who care deeply enough about the congregation to guide its steps courageously into the future. We need a fellowship that comes together, for without fellowship, we cannot work. This does not work. And that means forgiveness, for without forgiveness, it cannot work. That means grace, for without grace, it cannot work. But with grace, astonishing things become possible. Hands can be extended again, communities can be healed, people can begin anew. For the Spirit still moves among us, taking up our weakness, overcoming our doubt, and comforting us when life threatens to make us bitter. And through the Spirit, Christ continues gathering people together into communities of hope. So Trinity Sunday invites us not merely to think about God, but to live in God's life, to receive grace, to practice love, to share fellowship. For God is love. God is peace. God is with us. Amen. If we're able, we stand as we sing, "Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart."
Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart.
does go on a bit longer in the original version. God, teach us to dance to the beat of your heart. And we give thanks for the offering and dedicate it, both the offering that is here and, of course, the one on the direct debits we give as well there. So we say together, Holy God, we give thanks for the many ways in which you touch and bless our lives. Your holiness inspires us to be more holy. Your love invites us to be more loving. Your life in us brings to birth dreams and visions for a better and more just world. We offer these gifts and our lives in thankfulness for all you have done and are doing in the world and in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we continue in our prayers of intercession, as it says on the screen, Holy God, Holy and Strong One, we respond, hear our prayer. Holy God, Holy and Strong One, hear our prayer. Let's pray. Holy Father, you have created all things and made us in your own image. We rejoice in the beauty of your creation. We come before you in wonder and awe. We seek to be sensitive to your mysteries. We pray for places where your earth is exploited and marred, where your creatures are abused or misused. We pray for all who lack freedom or are oppressed. Holy God, Holy and Strong One, hear our prayer. Christ in glory, risen and ascended, you've redeemed us by your love. You give us life which is eternal. We pray to you for all who walk in darkness, all who cry out in pain, all who feel beyond hope. We remember all who are rejected and are outcasts in our world. We pray for a political time when people feel alienated and do not speak with one another, or if they do, it is shouting. Lord God, bring unity and hope into our world. Holy God, Holy and Strong One, hear our prayer. Spirit of God, breathing life into all, we give thanks for our talents and our abilities, for the power of renewal and refreshment. We pray that we and all your church may reach out in love. We pray for elders, ministers, and all in leadership in this church and in churches around us, especially in the Ipswich and East churches, and for the ministry of all your faithful people. We pray for the outreach and mission of this church. Give us a clear vision of how we should engage in those around us. Holy God, Holy and Strong One, hear our prayer. We pray for everyone who has been displaced by war, especially in Gaza, in the West Bank, in southern Lebanon, and in Ukraine. We also pray for merchant seamen trapped through the closure of the Strait of Hormuz and the people of Iran and the Gulf states living through deep uncertainty. Holy God, Holy and Strong One, hear our prayer. Holy, blessed and glorious Trinity, one in three, three in one, bind us together in unity. bind us together in love. Bind us together with love once departed, binding us together with saints in glory. Holy God, holy and strong one, hear our prayer. And together we say the grace as is written in 2 Corinthians 13. We say, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And the all, of course, is all we have prayed for. Go into the world and live in peace. Bear witness to the God of love and peace. And make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that Christ has taught us. And may God look upon you and take delight in you. May Christ Jesus be with you always to the end of the age. And may the Holy Spirit lead you into the dance of love that is the life of the Trinity. And we say the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.